Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640, you're listening to the John and Ken Show on demand on the iHeartRadio app. John Cobell, Ken Champeau, KFI AM 640 live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app. We're on the radio from 1 till 4, and after 4 o'clock, you could join the hordes listening to John and Ken on demand. It's the same show. It's on the iHeart app. It's the podcast.
Yeah, it's a new form of the mob, isn't it?
Yes.
John and Ken mob.
Yes, and you can supercharge your masculinity through the podcast as well.
Yeah, we understand that 1 to 4 isn't exactly convenient for all of our listeners, so picking up the show on the podcast right after 4 o'clock is a nice way to catch up on everything we're doing. And today, it's packed. But of course, the big story throughout Southern California is what happened to some high school students in Thousand Oaks. They got run over. And if you look at the mugshot of the man who did this, you got to believe drugs may have been involved. Just because he's bearded, disheveled. Supposedly, he is homeless, living out of a car. It all started with a stabbing at a Walmart in Simi Valley. We're going to get the whole story now, plus more from Blake Trolley, KFI News.
See, I believe people should be put in jail for the way they look, and you'll probably clean up a lot of problems. And if you saw this guy on the street, you'd say, you know, he should be put away, and look what he's done. Blake, what's going on?
Yeah, guys, so this appears to be some sort of rampage, all occurring within an hour in a triangle of cities. It goes stabbing at Walmart in Simi Valley, then some sort of fight with his family in Camarillo, then he heads back to Thousand Oaks. That's where he runs up on a curb, then hits a group of teenagers. But let's start with the Walmart in Simi Valley, which is essentially chapter one in this crime spree. As far as law enforcement goes, we've been given little information on this incident between both the Ventura County Sheriff's Office and the Simi Valley Police Department. We were really just told one person was stabbed and one person was assaulted. So I traveled to this Walmart and spoke to an employee. This is really the first time I've been given any sort of picture as to what happened here.
So basically, I was riding my motorcycle on my break. I come back and I find a lot of cop cars and a whole bunch of ambulances. I'm like, oh, what's going on? So I go to my manager. I'm like, what's going on? She's like, you'll find out soon enough. So I go around, start asking people, hey, what's going on? And they said someone got stabbed. I'm like, got stabbed? Where? And they're like, oh, in the garden area. I'm like, do you know why? And he's like, because the employee asked the customer for a receipt. I'm like, that's why he stabbed him? He's like, yeah. And I'm like, that's ridiculous. And everybody's like, yeah, I know, it's crazy. And then I heard that the guy that got away, not got away, but he hit four high schoolers on the way and killed one, a 15-year-old.
Yeah, we're covering that story. So when he was here, this was in the garden area.
Yeah.
So an employee asked him if he wanted a receipt and he hit them?
Yeah, he hit them, and then apparently he roughed up a woman too. Yeah, and he stabbed them in the thigh. And then I don't know where else he stabbed him, but I heard he's doing pretty good, the guy that got stabbed, so that's good.
Okay, yeah, well, thank you. Yeah, pretty scary stuff happening here.
Yeah, I know, man. It's just daily life at Walmart, you know?
The Ventura County Sheriff's Department guy says that after this stabbing at Walmart, the guy went to Camarillo, and again, this is where he gets into some sort of fight with his family. We're told nobody was injured there, but then he hooks back to Thousand Oaks, which is essentially coming back the other direction, only this time he'd be south of Simi Valley. So this would be just, you know, southwest of Simi Valley a little bit. And that's where he hit these kids who were up on the sidewalk. Ventura County Sheriff's Commander Garo Karajan says investigators think that the fact that he hit these kids was intentional.
That's what the witnesses said, that it appeared to them that it was an intentional act by the mannerism that the vehicle was driving.
Can you maybe break that down for us a little bit?
I don't have any more that I can disclose about that, but it's based on the interviews that the investigators received.
Okay, what kind of witnesses did they speak to?
They spoke with, there were several students, dozens of students that were in the area, and that's who they spoke with. They're still investigating, they're looking for video evidence.
So as you can hear there were a ton of students in the area likely waiting for a bus, because according to a GoFundMe page, the kid who was killed, his name is Wesley Welling. He was a freshman. The page says he was waiting on a bus to head home to celebrate his mother's birthday. He did have at least one sibling. So again, you could imagine just how challenging of a day that must have been for his mom, this happening on what was likely her birthday. Today, a vigil is growing by the high school. Kids have been coming to pay their respects, many of them in disbelief, including this kid who tells me they just never thought something like this would happen.
It's because like Westlake is one of those areas you do not expect anything to happen. It's like just a peaceful area, you know. There's never like no problems. It's just calm. Everyone's nice to each other. And then when this happened yesterday, everyone was like, wow.
So investigators say intentional, yes, but no motive has been released yet. If this account we're given, guys, from Walmart is true, this really does point to potential drug use or potential some sort of altered state of mind. We asked law enforcement this morning if he was known to them. They said no. I called the Ventura County DA's office. They didn't have any immediate record available for him. They're looking into it. But where is he from
besides his car?
He is from this, from Ventura County.
He grew up in that area?
They say that he went to this school. Is that true, Blake? That he may have gone to Westlake High School?
I'm doing a lot of digging right now as far as his actual background goes. There is a lot of hearsay on a lot of this that I'm working to confirm. All that we really know from law enforcement is that he's from here in Ventura County. I mean, guys, there's a lot of facts that we're chasing right now. This morning, investigators wouldn't even tell us how fast the guy was traveling. The street where this happened typically is 45 miles per hour. Given that there were kids in the area, that would drop the speed limit down to 25. But again, police this morning not even giving us, you know, that detail. Mm-hmm. How fast was he going? And again, something that I'm waiting to hear is, what is it about the testimonial that you were given from those students who saw this and told law enforcement it appears that this was intentional? What is it about their testimonial that led law enforcement to make that determination that, yeah, he intentionally hit this group of kids? And I should say, aside from the kid who was injured, you know, another one of these kids, a girl, is in critical condition because of this.
And his last name is EIS. Is that pronounced ICE?
It is pronounced ICE, yes.
Right, Austin Ice, but you said there didn't seem to be any priors on him anywhere.
You know, no priors came up as far as there hasn't been anything obvious that any of these law enforcement agencies have asked. Again, I have put in an inquiry with the Ventura County DA's office, but they had nothing, you know, as far as like surface knowledge goes. Right. We know that guy.
Nobody in his family has come forward.
Not as of now. And right now,
he's only 24.
He is only 24. And again, when you hear this chain of events, I mean, it does start to point to at least some speculation. There's no denying it, that this was likely some sort of mental health or drug issue.
Yeah, drugs, mental health, all those things. Do you know if he was living out of his car? Was anything come
again,
up on that?
Those are the details that I'm working to confirm about this guy is really get, you know, into the details of who this guy was. Today, it was a big part of this, guys, was just figuring out exactly what had happened, because so many of the details we were given initially were pretty spotty, right? This Walmart stabbing, for instance, we really didn't get a lot of information on, and we were trying to figure out exactly what happened. And as you hear those details, it kind of, you know, paints a clear picture. But yeah, Austin Ice, 24 years old. He's being held on a $5 million bail, set to be formally arraigned tomorrow, booked on murder, attempted robbery, and more charges.
And do we know anybody in the Camarillo home was hurt by him at all? Or
he was not. No, nobody was injured in that fight. When he went to Camarillo, nobody was injured.
All right, Blake, thank you very much. Good job. Maybe we'll talk to you later if you've come up with some more stuff.
Yeah, will do, guys. All right.
Blake Trolley, KFI News, covering the events that occurred yesterday afternoon when in Ventura County, when a man now identified as Austin Ice, E-I-S. I actually went looking on social media. I don't know that I found him, but there was somebody on Twitter or Instagram who goes by E-I-S, Ice Man, he calls himself. I don't know if it's the same guy, though. He apparently stabbed an employee at a Walmart in Simi Valley, then drove to his family home, we believe, in Camarillo, got into some disturbance there, and then eventually made his way to the area of Westlake High School, where he ran over those teenagers, one dead, one critical, and then two others injured, four people hit. All right, when we come back, a chance for you to win some money. It's still around, the KFI Inflation Compensation Contest. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
So a man who may be homeless and may have mental health or drug problems apparently stabbed an employee at a Walmart in Simi Valley, then went home, may have fought with family members in Camarillo, then made his way to Westlake High School and ran over some teenagers. Now, the Walmart story, which Blake got a great interview with an employee, may have been some dispute over a receipt. He was in the garden area of the Walmart.
He was offered a receipt.
So that led him to take out a knife and stab an employee, I guess, in the leg, he said?
In the thigh, yeah.
The thigh, yeah.
Which is part of the leg.
Shows you how easy crazy people tip.
If he's on meth or if he's, psychotic, schizophrenic.
I wonder what he purchased. Why would you be upset over being offered a receipt? The question doesn't make sense because we're dealing with something.
No, you're dealing with violent impulses and a psychotic. So
yeah, I know.
You could
this
ask
is what you get.
You could ask
put all these people out there, right? He has a family,
sure.
Apparently, but I guess they decided that at 24, we're not putting up with him anymore. So we may have been living out of his car, from what we understand.
That's what so much of this is. Some psycho in the family that they get tired of dealing with because he's probably fighting with them and physically assaulting them.
And what did we say? Somewhere in your 20s, some men really develop schizophrenia, right?
Yes.
That's a key age for that kind of...
It can start anywhere from the late teens into the late 20s, and it's like a time bomb that goes off.
Yeah, sad Kelly Thomas story from years ago. It's what happened to him in his 20s, and then he eventually was beaten to death by police officers in Fullerton. So we're familiar with this pattern.
And there's no solution to this, because you can tamp down the symptoms with a lot of drugs, but I think we mentioned this the other day, one of the symptoms is you don't think you're nuts, so most of them don't want to take the drugs,
right?
So you're stuck now. So the crazy person runs around and he's hearing voices and getting commands and dogs are talking to him and he's acting crazy and he won't take his medication. So, of course, he ends up in a car or in a tent or face down on the ground, right?
Because he walks into a Walmart and something sets him off about a receipt, so he takes out a knife. Yeah.
And, I just read a long excerpt from a book, a guy whose best friend was schizophrenic, and eventually this guy murdered his fiance. And what really was frustrating, just reading the excerpt, is all the friends and family tried to get him committed to various programs and in various mental health lockdowns, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes they take him in for a while, but the system always spits him back out. They always say, well, now you got to go. Time's up. You spent enough time here, and you have to leave.
Number one, they don't have the beds. Number two, the laws are in the favor on the side of civil liberties.
So if
that person don't want to stay there, they get to go.
So you end up delaying the inevitable. You don't cure the problem. It's just like, okay, he's locked up for now. He's not going to kill anybody today. But you can never let him out. And again, there's no cure for this unless you drug yourself up every day or you're being forced to get drugged up. And to force somebody, you'd have to have them in a lockdown facility.
So there are people that take medications every day and can live another, 50 years with schizophrenia, because you said there's no cure.
No, there's no cure.
But they control it with the medication.
Right.
Is there anything else that can be done? No. Some sort of behavioral therapy or no?
No, because it's like a biologically organic problem. It's something wrong inside the brain. Yeah. A lot of therapy is about teaching you how to deal with, the ups and downs of life, a philosophy on how to handle it. Like if you're an impatient person, a jumpy, nervous person, techniques in order to calm down. If you're carrying baggage from your childhood, looking at your parents in a different light, just for most people, just talking out loud and having somebody say, yes, I understand, works. It's not any of that here. This is about brain damage. You're born with something, some time bomb in your head that goes off and your brain starts deteriorating.
Yeah. Now, we don't know enough about this guy. And this is the point of the show where I say not all mentally ill people are violent, but clearly some are, and you got to get control of that situation. I'm sure at some point this family will have something to say about Austin Ice, their son.
You don't let people live in a car. You don't let them live in a tent. You change the laws to have them forcibly committed. That's what a rational society would do.
Yep, we keep hearing that out of Sacramento, but I haven't heard any of the latest that they want to change those laws dealing with taking people into custody when they can't care for themselves, as they put it.
I mean, you could see. I mean, these are some of the most peaceful towns that we have in Southern California. Westlake, Thousand Oaks.
Simi Valley.
You're not going to get calmer places, but...
No.
But if you have crazy man... who's either a schizophrenic or he's, whacked out on meth, then, anybody can be stabbed. Anybody can be run down or killed. And look at that. He didn't even use an assault weapon. How about that one?
Yep. Oh, this update. He's out on no bail. No, I'm kidding. Now, this story related to crime is a doozy. I saw this headline last night. I stared at it twice. I couldn't believe it. They've arrested an L.A. man by the name of Namir Malik Ali Green for 31 armed robberies and 2 carjackings. That's quite a spree. Convenience stores across Southern California. Was that last year, the year before? Remember there was this run of 7-Eleven robberies, and they eventually arrested 2 L.A. guys because they killed people.
Yeah.
This guy, as far as I know, did not kill anybody. But he allegedly committed 31 robberies or attempted robberies of gas stations and convenience stores and at least 2 carjackings in L.A. and Orange County. Listen to this. From March 21st to April 15th, he did all this of this year. That was just a few weeks.
Yeah. He stole a total of over $2,500 from gas stations in Hermosa Beach, Marina Del Rey, Long Beach, Pico Rivera, Whittier, Montebello, Santa Monica, and Mid-City LA.
It's just like you see in the movies. He would just come in, he points a gun, give me some money, and leaves. It's probably all over in a matter of a minute. And 8 gas station convenience stores and attempted to rob one more. Oh, on one day, on April 4th, he did this. He robbed 8 and attempted 1 more. So one day he went after 9 convenience stores.
That's a good work day.
April 4th. That's a busy work day. Imagine he comes home, oh, honey, I'm tired. But look what I got here, thousands of dollars. That's a pretty good salary for one day, sir. What did you do? I'm robbing people.
He's interesting is they hit him with a federal crime, the Hobbs Act.
Maybe Gascon would say, I'll pass, right?
I wonder if they did this to get around Gascon.
Don't know.
Because it's charged with interference with commerce by robbery. Oh. And that could be a federal crime. Oh. I imagine they don't normally do it for a local thief. But this is the kind of thing that Gascon would not give any serious prison time to.
They think he took in over $15,000 in total cash during the robbery spree. And, of course, it ended with the police chase. See, when I see these police chases, now this is a guy that would not want to stop, because if they tie him to the robberies, he knows he's in deep trouble. So he ran, but they eventually caught him. He jumped out of the car and they nabbed him. Yeah, he could face a statutory maximum sentence of 20 years.
Yeah.
He's how old is he here? It doesn't say. I thought he was pretty young. All right, we got more coming up. Oh, yeah, when we returned.
23 he was.
23. We're going to learn a lot more about a big story we talked about yesterday, and that was a ruling by a federal appeals court that the city of Berkeley cannot ban the use of gas-powered stoves in new construction homes. Carl DeMaio knows a lot about it from Reform, California. He'll be our guest next. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeartRadio.
Let me run this by my lawyer is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print, or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
Juan Gabriel.
Juanquis.
Selena.
Selena.
Celia Cruz.
Azúcar.
Karol G.
La Bichota.
Christina Aguilera.
Ex-Tina.
Just to name a few.
We're serving the whole story.
From rags to riches.
And all the tea in between.
I'm Liliana Vasquez.
And I'm Joseph Carrillo.
And we're the host of Becoming an Icon Season 2.
Guess who's back in the house?
And we're bringing you even more stories behind the world's biggest stars in Latin music.
Certified Latin royalty.
Consider us your star sleuths, your chisme besties, digging beneath los mejores éxitos to bring you everything you didn't know about your favorite Latin icons.
Hey, you know what, my boo? You're my favorite icon.
Aw, Joseph!
Listen to Becoming an Icon, part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're talking tea, we're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Here are some examples of what you'll hear from us on Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
This is where we discuss all things reality TV, all things popular culture.
And a little bit of Rappaport's reality, the reality of us.
We're figuring out. And if we had been recording these last 4 or 5 days, it would have been,
juicy.
The podcast would have taken a left turn.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
App.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
Quick reminder that we will be bringing back the Moist Line day after tomorrow already. It's Wednesday, so you can leave a message using that iHeartRadio app. Oh, and again, I'm being nudged. Follow that app. Mm-hmm. Go on.
Follow the app. Follow the app. And you can find the podcast on the app, too, after 4 o'clock every day.
That app is becoming critical. All right, you can leave a message for the Moist Line using the microphone icon or call the toll-free number 1-877-MOIST-86. Yesterday, we mentioned a story, but we're going to get a lot more good detail on it from Carl DeMaio, chairman of Reform California and leader of a statewide campaign opposing the attempt, which has been growing, particularly in the Bay Area, to get rid of your gas appliances.
This is the latest sick freakout by the climate cultists. They've now decided that gas stoves are gonna destroy the atmosphere.
But the cover story they've been giving is it's unhealthy. You could die from that natural gas in your kitchen.
Yeah. Well, that's, you know, that's the way this goes now. You have some fanatical belief that the climate's going to boil over. Not many people actually believe that. And so you have to come up with another argument that scares you immediately. Well, you're going to get poisoned. It's like, well, who's been poisoned by their stove? Nobody. It's never happened. So anyway, we got a good court ruling to reverse this Berkeley law. And we're going to get Carl DeMaio to talk about this whole issue. Carl, how are you?
Hey, guys, a very, very rare win for common sense and freedom in California. So we're celebrating, but the fight's not over. We know that there's a lot more that the politicians pushing these crazy mandates are going to try to do to ban not only gas stoves, but all gas appliances. We're not just talking gas stoves, your water heater, your furnace, your fireplace. Anything gas appliance in your home would have to be removed, replaced, and there's a cost of $30,000 per home for the very expensive retrofit mandates that they're looking at imposing in California.
Oh, so it's not just new construction. Well, they're going to come after existing homes.
No, it's not. And this is the Berkeley case is about a law that was passed in 2019 because Berkeley was one of the first cities to do this that said we're going to ban gas appliances in new construction. The Restaurant Association immediately filed a lawsuit. Now we got this ruling at the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals saying that no, California cannot ban natural gas appliances in new construction. But people need to understand that now 36 localities in California have banned natural gas in new construction. And there's a big and, now they're doing existing building mandates. The Bay Area Air Quality Council, which is a state agency, imposed a mandate a month ago requiring that all homes and businesses would have to do retrofits to remove all the gas appliances no later than 2027. In San Diego, they're looking at a 2030 or 2033 deadline. So this is a retrofit mandate on top of just new construction.
All right, all
appliances that are gas.
This judge's decision says you can't do this in Berkeley because only the federal government has jurisdiction over this particular
Correct.
Issue. So does this apply now to all these sweeping laws that you just listed?
Yes, absolutely. But this judge's decision, it was actually three judges of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, which is the federal court. And they said that no, California, whether you're a city or a state agency, you don't have the power to bypass Congress, which has said that they get to set the standards on appliances and energy efficiency, and it's a federal issue. So three judges have agreed that this should be blocked.
Okay. But in the absence of an appeal that is successful.
So they are appealing. Yeah, they are appealing.
So, and if this issue is upheld all the way through the Supreme Court, let's say, then that would kill this whole strategy for retrofitting and new construction.
It would absolutely kill it. That's why this is such a great decision. We are very pleased by. But the battle's not over because we do know that they're going to be asking for a full hearing at the Ninth Circuit. And then if they don't get what they want there, they're going to appeal it to the U.S. Supreme Court. Now, let me just say, I'm thrilled with the ruling, but I also recognize that if we do end up before the U.S. Supreme Court, it is quite possible that the conservative judges will see it from a different standpoint, from the standpoint of the 10th Amendment. And they may say, look, we don't agree with the gas appliance ban. We think it's crazy. But the 10th Amendment gives the states the power to do certain things, and the federal government can't usurp that. So we are not out of the woods yet.
Well, see, that's opposing.
It's going to be a situation where it goes to the Supreme Court, I believe.
That's an opposing philosophy because these judges said that
they cited federal
state
policy.
Can't overrule federal.
Yeah.
And you're saying
Correct.
That you could have some conservative judges who say, well, federal can't overrule state.
Conservative judges like to
Correct.
Leave power to the states. That's kind of their thing.
They do. Exactly. So we have some good judges that made this decision, and I agree with them, that the federal law as it's currently written says that states cannot impose their own restrictions or mandates that have an impact on the type of utility that's used for energy efficiency standards. Now, when it gets before the Supreme Court, I fully expect the Democrats to change their argument up and try to play to the originalist justices, who basically look at the Constitution in a very cut and dry manner, and they may look to the 10th Amendment and decide differently. And that's why we have a two-track approach in our campaign to stop this. We support the lawsuit that the Restaurant Association brought before the Ninth Circuit, and we're pleased with the result. But we do not believe we're out of the woods. We have to make this an issue in local elections as well as state elections, because we're dealing with both local mandates and state mandates to ban
this. But this is difficult. There's so much hysterical fanaticism now. And these people work for organizations, and they're paid very well to create the hysteria. And most of the public doesn't really pay attention to details. This is the sweet spot of these activist groups, is they take issues or they take races that hardly anybody pays attention to, gets all crazy about it, and then impose something drastic that nobody really wants. But
yeah, the number of people that when I talk to it, whether it's in the Bay Area or in San Diego or in some of these other 36 cities that or locations where natural gas appliances have been banned, no one's aware of it. And I've talked to Democrats, independents, Republicans. Everyone agrees this is a bipartisan issue, that this is crazy, that this is expensive, that there's no need to do it. It's not convenient.
Gas stoves have zero impact on the climate. Zero.
In fact, I would argue that they're even more environmentally friendly than electric stoves, because when you use a gas appliance in your home, you are achieving or recapturing 98% of the energy that gas holds. If you use gas to make electricity and then pipe electricity into a home for an electric stove, you lose about 70% of the energy in that transaction. So when I grew up, and I think when you guys grew up, weren't we taught that environmentalism meant waste not, want not? Well, the ban on electric gas appliances is very wasteful. It's not good for the environment. We don't have the energy and the electricity to even power these appliances. So we believe that this campaign has to be waged. We have a website, stopthegasban.org, stopthegasban.org, where people can get more information. They can sign our petition. And we want to make sure that we get as many people signing the petition, because we use that during the campaign to make sure people know who they're voting for and what their position is on the natural gas ban. So it's stopthegasban.org.
And a parallel story to this, Carl, is the electricity grid. It's now going to be expected to hold up all this. The cars are going to be electric. All the homes are going to be electric.
That's impossible.
How much wind and solar are we going to be able to come up with?
Now, Carl,
right?
How far does this go before it hits the wall of reality? There's never going to be an electrical grid to handle all this. It's impossible.
Well, and I believe that the left-wing zealots pushing this know that, and that's why they literally have been telling us that we are being greedy when we have air conditioning, and that what we need to do is put ourselves on energy diets. In Europe, I look at what the Europeans are proposing to see how we're going to move here in this country, and they've been saying, you know, change your thermostat. You know, have a government regulated thermostat at home so that you can't turn up your air conditioning when it's hot.
When we're short of electricity, they're going to tell us that that you have to go on an electricity diet. That's how they're going to deal with the electricity shortage. It's like, well, I guess you can't use it very much. And if you keep trying to, that's when you'll, through the internet, you'll have the government able to regulate our electrical supply and simply turn it off to your house once you've exceeded a certain minimum.
Yeah, and they've done this on so many other levels with the water fines, despite the fact that we have more than enough water in California if we were actually able to store it during the good years. The pattern is the same. They increase the cost, they then restrict, and then they mandate that you have to do without.
All right, Carl, thank you so much. Again, it's stopthegasban.org for more on this. We appreciate talking to you again.
Thanks, guys.
All right, call DeMaio, Reform California, and their campaign to stop the natural gas bans. Find out more at stopthegasban.org. Plenty of good information there. More coming up. John and Ken, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere in the iHeartRadio app.
You're listening to John and Ken on demand from KFI AM 640.
It's time for Dodger baseball. Tomorrow, the Dodgers will take on the Cubs in Chicago. First pitch at 4:40. Listen to the game in HD on the free iHeartRadio app live from the Galpin Motors broadcast booth. Keyword AM 570 LA Sports.
Coming up after 2 o'clock, we're going to bring back to the show Matt Capoluto. Matt has been pushing tirelessly for something called Alexandra's Law to be passed in Sacramento. His daughter, Alexandra, overdosed on fentanyl. She didn't think she was getting fentanyl. She thought she was getting an opioid, but the pill was laced with fentanyl and she died on her college break, acquired the pill through social media. It's a wall. Public safety committees in Sacramento, Assembly, Senate, it is a wall. They don't want to do anything that would add more prison time and hide behind the dopey line of, oh, the war against drugs was a failure. We're not going to repeat that. Anyway, he's reached out to us. And we said yes because he says that his bill is the last bill standing which holds fentanyl dealers accountable. And he wants to give out John's favorite, State Senator Scott Wiener's phone number and ask people to call him. The amendments we have addressed, all of the committee's concerns. We have 21 Senate co-authors, which is a majority of the state Senate. There was a bill that was proposed by a Democrat to deal with this too. That got rejected by this dopey public safety committee. So
because they're fanatics. And they don't care that teenagers are dying of fentanyl poisoning. They don't care. What do you do with somebody who doesn't care? Ever try to talk to somebody who doesn't care? What happens?
I don't care.
You try to reason with them, cajole them, you could yell, it doesn't matter. They don't care. So, we'll talk to Matt Capoluto coming up after 2 o'clock. I just want to say one more thing because I think Carl DeMaio laid out a blueprint here for what's going on. You have to be hyper aware of it. They wanted to get rid of gas stoves in Berkeley, and an appeals court said no, you can't do that because there's federal law that supersedes. But what they're doing, and they're going to do this to electricity, they're going to do this with gasoline, they're going to do this with water, they're going to do this with anything you need to live on, is they're going to create a policy so that the prices go really high. And then they're going to create a shortage. And then they're going to say, well, if there's a shortage, you can't afford it, use less. And that's the world they want to impose on us. A world where we use less water, less electricity, less natural gas, less gasoline. We have to live the way they want us to live. There's plenty of supply of all this. We have plenty of gasoline and oil. We would have plenty of electricity if they weren't obsessed with wind and solar. Plenty of water. But they create artificial shortages and artificially high prices to bully us into, you live like we say. And it's sick, and it has worked to some extent, mostly because people are just oblivious to what's going on in the world. They really are. But this gas, they create hysteria. It's like, oh, gas stoves are going to kill you. No, they're not going to kill you. Oh, it's going to cause massive global warming. No, it's not. These are just lies, hysterical lies, to emotionally manipulate you, like the COVID lies.
Be careful if you go outside. There's a 600-pound satellite hurtling toward Earth, and it's set to make a crash landing. The retired Revan Ramity high-energy solar spectroscopic imager spacecraft. God, that is a long freaking name. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 words.
Yeah.
Otherwise known as RHESSI, RISI, will re-enter Earth's atmosphere today after over 2 decades in orbit.
What time?
Most of the satellite will burn up, but some parts have a chance of surviving and crashing to Earth. The risk to anyone on Earth is low. This number bothers me, though. 1 in 2,467. Mm-hmm. That, you know, I would take that chance with a lottery ticket because that's pretty good compared to the long odds you had for winning the big lottery.
Wouldn't take much to squish Deborah, would it?
Maybe it's going to happen while we're on the air.
Yeah.
It'll happen right here in this building.
Come right through your news booth there.
Woohoo! See ya. It's been real.
It's been observing solar flares and coronal mass ejections that have aided scientists' investigation into the physics of the sun and the sun's energy bursts. It has recorded 100,000 X-ray events, according to the agency, as well as gamma ray images. It marked the first time gamma ray and high energy X-ray images of solar flares has actually been captured.
The warranty's up. I mean, why is it falling from the sky?
Well, yeah, eventually, after 2 decades, John, it's it.
It just gets tired.
It's like your car is not going to last forever, and nothing lasts forever. People die, objects die. I mean, it's going to disintegrate up there.
Well, maybe.
You thought it would be up there for a million years? And
There's a lot of junk up there for a long time now. I wonder why most of it doesn't fall to Earth, and I wonder why the ones that do.
I have no idea about that. You'll have to talk to some space junk expert.
Yeah.
It was decommissioned in 2018 due to communications difficulties. It's 660 pounds. It's a relatively lightweight satellite compared to the others. But they just want the world to be aware that it's going to be returning to Earth. And, of course, we've had multiple instances of Chinese rocket debris that re-entered the atmosphere last year that happened several times. But I don't think there were any injuries. I mean, most of the Earth is water, right? So
right.
The chances are that's where it's going to
and
go.
And most of the land is empty land.
That is true, too.
Despite
the fact that we always complain about being packed in.
Well, we have this irritating habit of clustering very close together, large numbers of people by the millions, when there's so much empty land and water out there.
27,000 pieces of space junk are out there floating in orbit.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering, like, why does this one fall out of the sky? And the other 27,000 keep going.
Our guest next is Matt Capiluto, trying to get Alexandra's Law passed in Sacramento. He's been hard at this for a long time, but he keeps running into public safety committee idiots in Sacramento. It deals with fentanyl and punishing fentanyl dealers. John and Ken, KFI, AM 640, live everywhere, the iHeart Radio app.
Deborah Mark live in the 24-hour KFI newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John and Ken Show. You can always hear us live on KFI AM 640, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday, and of course, anytime on demand on the iHeart Radio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over 3 whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.